couple things I want to talk about today. One of them is, lately a lot of people have been asking me out or, you know, to dinner or to get together because I've been spending more time by myself, which is what I like. Roberta is more outgoing. She likes to be around people and so forth, but I prefer to be more by myself. And when I say by myself, that's not totally true because I'm not alone. Just because there's no people around me doesn't mean I'm alone. It's not something I talk about or write in my books. Years back, when my valve was closed, and I shouldn't say closed, but more closed, or restricted is perhaps a better word, and I felt lonely. I felt pain, sadness, terrible pain, emotional pains. That's because the valve, you know, was restricted and there was not enough flow coming through. Once you reach a certain level of opening, whatever that is, probably different for each person, loneliness and those feelings, they melt away. Now, there are certain days when, for some reason or other, what I'm doing, thinking, feeling, my valve gets a little restricted, and then certain negative emotions come up. That's normal. You know, we have this thing where we improve, we go back a little bit. It's like a little pendulum that swings back and forth. Even though we're improving, it still swings back and forth in the new level of improvement that we're sitting at. So there's always this little bit of a swing and adjustment that we go through. But at a certain point, loneliness disappears. Because you become reconnected with what I could say call the universe or all that is. Once the flow increases to a certain amount and it stays there, let's say at a minimum, you feel more connected. And the best way I can say it is loneliness just disappears. And the need for company is not as great, although, you know, people still, of course, enjoy each other's company and so forth. But the need for it, this deep, inrooted need, is not there as much. So that's an important aspect to remember. It really goes back to my first book where I talk about sending love and opening the valve. In that retrospect, I talked a lot about sending love out in that book. And really, as I look back at it now and I think about it, and the experience that I've had, it's really at the beginning more important to open the flow. More for yourself than for anyone around you, because you've got to do it really for yourself first. Then as you improve, the flow radiates out automatically. And as our thoughts improve, I noticed as my thoughts become more positive, leaning more on the positive side, things the way I want them, seeing those things in my head, as with the 3.6 million, because I'm spending time emotionally looking at the having of the 3.6 million, not at the lack of money. As I do that more and more, the flow actually radiates out into the world more and more, and to people around me also. So it becomes an automatic thing as we improve ourselves. So I think the very first thing is really, the first obligation that we have is to ourselves, to improve ourselves and lift ourselves up. And that's the main focus. Now the other thing I want to talk about is, you know, when we go through life, we have emotional attachments to things, to ideas, to thoughts. All day long, we're radiating with emotions we have from things we see, dislike and dislike. But a large part of it, we are not looking at what we actually want. We're looking at the opposite. And I'll give you an example of that. Two people. One is, well, before I go into it, it comes from a real example. Because for my birthday, I received a little motorized scooter from Roberta. She bought that for me. It's something I wanted. Already a year ago, I was creating it. But I had created it in my mind and experienced it so much that I had the experience without having it. And so I was able to let go of it totally, and now it's come into my reality. I actually went looking for it about a week ago in the store, even asked somebody, and they said, no, we don't have them anymore, we're not bringing them in anymore. Roberta goes there to get me one, and she finds one in that same store. And it's exactly the right one that I want. So, my creating a year ago has kicked in and has taken a whole year. But now that I've received it, because I've already emotionally experienced having it, the same way we're working with the 3.6 million, it was a whole different experience receiving it. See, I could actually leave it sitting there, assembled, and not drive it, and be totally happy with it just sitting there, because I've already experienced it. Now, I'm still, of course, going to drive it, but it was more of an experience now of receiving than the having, because the having I've already experienced. So some of these things can take a little time to receive. But the example that I want to make now is based on, I was writing it on the docs here. So I'm going to make up a similar example of what might happen. A little kid is riding a bike somewhere where he's not supposed to be. You know, there's some rule, don't ride your bike here, but it really is not important because it's just a little kid, you know, 5-year-old learning to ride his little tricycle, so, you know, in a 5-foot square space, so it doesn't matter. But someone who is a rule tickler comes along who is fearful if the rules are broken that it will, you know, cause problems. So that person comes along and tells the little kid, you can't do this, you can't ride your bike here, and so forth. Another person comes along and sees that and finds that unjust and says, look here, this is just a small child learning to ride a bike. It really creates no harm or danger for you. And now we have two opposite stands. We have the person who wants to enforce the rules because they want to be feel safe and be safe. And they believe that as people break the rules, of course, their safety dwindles. Because more people break the rules, someone sees someone else break the rules, and pretty soon everybody is breaking the rules, and their world becomes unsafe. Because it's the rules that makes their world safe. The other person sees it the other way around, sees those rules as ridiculous, especially in a case of like this, where we can bend the rules to allow a small child to practice riding a bike and learn in a safety area where there's no one else going to be riding their bikes and perhaps running over the child and so forth. So, you end up with two people arguing back and forth, each having their point. Massive amounts of energy is actually being expended by both people. But, both people are creating the opposite of what they want. The person who is enforcing, who wants to enforce the rules, is having an emotional experience on the rules being broken, and is fearful of rules being broken. So the universe, through his or her eyes, sees the rules being broken and sees people breaking the rules, and feels the emotional intensity of that fear of people breaking the rules. And so the universe creates more of it, because that's what it sees. The universe does not judge or think about it. It just receives the messages through your eyes and through your emotions and recreates more of it for you. So for the person who is worried about the rules being broken, the universe creates more people to break the rules. The other person who is feeling this is unjust and is arguing that you should bend the rules is afraid that these rules are restricting life and, you know, is causing us to have less joy and less freedom. And is seeing that through his or her eyes and is having an emotional experience to that. The universe sees it and the universe creates more rule enforcers and more rules for that person to push against. Because that's what they're seeing, that's what they're experiencing emotionally, and so the universe creates more of it. It's doing exactly what it's being told to do. Because we don't understand how the system's been set up to create. We think this world is just here and runs, for some reason, in some manner. But in actuality, it runs according to the information it receives from everything and everyone on this planet, including a tree, including a mouse, a rat, whatever is seen through its eyes, and whatever the system is for humans. It's an emotional thing that triggers the creating part. For a tree, it might not be an emotional thing. It might be something else. I don't know what it is. For a mouse, a dog, something else again. But if we don't understand what triggers the actual creating part, then we don't understand the mechanism that we're living on. And we don't understand why things continue to happen. But here's why. Because we're not focused on what we want. If the person who was enforcing the rules would realize what they want is to feel safe, and would instead see themselves as feeling safe. Look at this child riding its bike, feeling safe, and realizing they're in a very safe environment here, where people obey the rules and only allow them to be bent in a very safe way. And if that person sees it in his mind eye so much so that he gets an emotional feeling to it, then the universe gets that signal and creates exactly that. Creates a very safe world where the rules are bent, but only in a way that's safe and makes it a more happy and joyous and safe world. Now they would actually be creating something wonderful, and the universe will create exactly what that person's seeing through his mind's eye. See, the universe can't see, or I should say, can see, but sees what we see. In a sense, I look at a cup, but if I convince myself that that blue cup is red, so much so that I get an emotion about my beautiful red cup, I feel an emotion about it. There's an emotion welling up of appreciation for my beautiful red cup. The universe sees a red cup, not a blue one. And the next cup you'll receive, and you will receive a cup, will be a red one, despite the fact that you have a blue one now. Now the person who saw the child being harassed, because he or she's learning to ride a bike, got upset about that. But instead, they should immediately realize that they're working on their fears and sending the signal of their fear to the universe to create more, and should in that respect immediately turn to something more positive. Now, let's really take a look at this. If that person were able to see a happy child riding its bike in perfect safety, bending the rules a little bit, the rule enforcer being extremely happy that these rules are in place and are allowed to be bent a little bit, that the child can learn to ride its bike in perfect safety because of those rules. You see, those rules mean no one can ride their bikes, so people won't be riding their bikes by there at 30 miles an hour, which would make it rather unsafe for this little child learning to ride the bike because he or she's not very steady, can't get out of the way of a fast bike, and so forth. So, these rules are serving a purpose. And if that person sees that in his mind's eye and gets a strong emotion, the universe will create it. Now, if only one person is doing the creating, you have the rule enforcer, who is still, let's say, focusing on the negative side, and you have you, who was on the other side, saying that the rule should be bent for the small child, but you see it now in your mind's eye as everything is okay. The universe obviously can't instantly, that very second, change it, because that situation has already been created from a past tense emotion you've had. But if you continue to hold in your mind's eye exactly what you want, and to such an extent you get a positive emotional feeling for it, the universe will see that, and in the future tense, create that. It will line up the circumstances and all the events so that the person who cannot deal with that won't even be around. They'll be out shopping. They'll be somewhere else on the other side of the building. They won't even notice it. They'll be asleep, whatever the case. All the circumstances and events that need to conspire in a certain manner and timely manner will be set up so that you experience exactly what you've sent to the universe. Now, what I've said makes sense and sounds really simple, but we've done the opposite our entire lives and very few times do we do, you know, exactly what I just explained. We do it sometimes because sometimes we think about something we want and we pretend what it would be like to have it and we go, that's so wonderful, it would be so neat. And if we do that long enough and in the right way till we actually get an emotional experience, the universe gets the signal and picks it up and tries to deliver it. And if we stay in an open and allowing way, the universe will deliver it. So that's how all the good things that you've wanted, that's how you've received them. All the things you don't want, that's how you've received them. The universe will deliver whatever. Simple as that. Now, I've stated that if you were to send love and so forth, you'd only get the positive. That's because you can't send love when you're in that negative state. If you're focusing on the fact that that person is mean and ugly and nasty and grumpy, that he's not allowing this child to ride the bike there, then you have a negative emotional response right now. And with that negative emotional response, you're not sending love. You can think about sending love, but till that emotional response changes, the love isn't actually flowing from you. There's no love radiating from you. So you have to change your emotional thinking first. Now you can either do that by changing your thinking or, you know, changing around your thinking to the what you want, or switch entirely to something else, which would be to radiating out love to everybody's concerned and not thinking about the subject at all. By not thinking about it, you've released it. And by thinking about radiating love, you are now doing that. And when you get an emotional response from it, the universe kicks it into gear and in turn will give you a feeling of utopia, a really good feeling, a strong, happy feeling, which is telling you that it's working. The third way we can do it, and this is probably the easiest way to practice all of this in one shot, is to let go of the subject altogether. Pretend that the people around you and everything that's happening is a game, just like the computer game. If you have no emotional response to it, It can't affect you and it will diminish and go away. But you need to have something happening, so the universe has to create something for you. So what we do is we use the $3.6 million and we switch to that. We practice every day to get a feeling first thing in the morning for that, a very strong, happy feeling. As you get better at that, if something negative happens and you can't switch your thinking on it, which is quite common, then switch entirely to something else. Something you've practiced thinking about in a happy way where it changes your entire chemistry in your body to happy. And that would be the 3.6 million. So it's not just that we're creating the 3.6 million. We're learning to change our thinking patterns to what we want and our emotional patterns to what we want. And in time, you'll switch from the 3.6 million to something else. But right now, that's why we stay with the 3.6 million. So if something negative is happening, let go of it entirely, look away, walk away from it, do whatever you can, and go back to the 3.6 million, get an emotional response for that, and now go somewhere else and look at something else. Let go of it. If there's no emotional response from you, it's getting no energy from you. The other person can hang on to it and it will be recreated for them again through someone else. But if you give it no energy, it will fade away for you and less chance of it ever happening again. Because the universe also has kind of an eraser. As something no longer gets an emotional response from you, things that are in your life, you become unresponsive to them, they will begin to disappear. It's like people. If there's people in your life and you become unresponsive to them, giving them no energy, they say something, you have no emotional response whatsoever, those people will leave you. Guaranteed. And in exactly the same way, it works with all objects. Remove the emotional integrity, you remove the energy. Be it positive, negative, it doesn't matter. See, an object is there, whether you give it positive energy or negative energy. Whether you love it or hate it, both ways, you're holding it in its place. The only difference is when you love it, you're holding it into a more positive way where it can actually transform into positive experiences. Where if you hate it, it's still there in your life, but it transforms into negative experiences. And that's how it works. And that's why I like to look at things a little bit more like a game. It helps me to release the emotional responses because I realize I have a lot of negative emotional responses, just exactly like the example I just gave you. I have many of those all day long. I didn't realize it, how many I've had. But since I've been doing the 3.6 million, since I've been practicing that, more and more every day, and I get better at it every day, all of a sudden I'm starting to see and realize when I don't have a positive emotional response to something. And I realize now that I have many of those, and that's why some of these little things keep occurring. And rule enforcers are one of them. They've been a pet peeve in my life for as long as I can remember. Why? Because I have an emotional response to them. So the universe creates more of them, which means I have more of an emotional response to them. And so the universe creates more of them. And they're everywhere for crying out loud. I mean, really. And here I am. I'm a rule breaker. I've become a rule breaker. Not so much because the rules need to be broken. Well, a lot of them need to be bent, but because there are so many rule enforcers around me, because I've had such an emotional attachment to them. So this last one, I totally let go. I laughed at it. And I let go of it. No emotional response. That's not so easy to do. When it comes up, I totally switch to something else. In other words, I don't give it any more thought. Of course, I have given it some thought right now because I'm writing this out. Well, I'm putting it on tape. So I've had to go through it again. But that's, you know, part of the cost of writing this, is that once again I have to think about it. The thought does come up, but I just simply switch. I don't allow it to stay long enough to become an emotional response. See, the thoughts will come up. My mind will bring up the thoughts. That's what my mind is supposed to do. It's supposed to give me the options. Do you want to think about this? Okay. Well, you've had a lot of emotional response about that, so I thought you might want to think about that. And I go, no. I want to think about this. Okay. And the mind continuously brings up things you can think about. If it's bringing up negative things, that's because we've had a lot of negative emotional responses to things. So it will bring up the thoughts according to that. As we begin to change our life and our thoughts to more positive emotional thoughts, my mind, our mind, your mind, will bring up more possible thoughts to think about in the positive emotional response side. That's how it works. Simple as that. Hope that makes sense. It seemed to make sense to me. Hope it makes sense to you.